Today's episode is brought to you by Slate House Publishing, recorded at Wayne Howard Studios.
So, Trevor.
Yes, Jeremy.
Good Sunday morning.
Good Sunday morning.
I've had a rough couple of weeks, man.
I think everyone's had a rough couple of weeks.
I mean, I've had a rough decade this past year with the pandemic, but I've had a rough couple of weeks because I had to really crush a student's dreams the other day, man.
Oh, that's the worst thing to do, is to crush a student's dreams.
So, and I've been haunted by it. I really have. Like, this kid comes to me and he says, listen, Mr. Billingsley, he said, listen, I'm in accounting right now, and I'm just not happy. My parents won't talk to me about this. They really want me to become an accountant. And I said, my friend, what are you struggling with the classes? I mean, I'm not really an accountant person. I can't really help you, but I can point you in the right direction. He said, no. He said, no. He said, I'm making really good grades. I just don't want to be an accountant. I'm thinking about dropping out of school. And I'm like, man, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be an opera singer. He wants to, and I said, really? And he said, yeah, I want to be an opera singer. I said, okay. I said, all right. Well, tell you what, I'm not a great judge of character, but why don't you kind of sing for me here a little bit? Let's just see how you're doing. I mean, you said you're making really good grades in accounting. You know, what if you stuck with accounting and then you did opera like at night or something?
He could be like a singing accountant. Yeah.
Yeah. He could be a singing accountant. And he was like, no. I really need to dedicate all of my time and energy to being an opera singer. And I said, well, belt out a few chords. Let's hear what you got. Man, if the Looney Tunes thing where the glass shatters, like, was a deal, like, and not in a good way, like, it was bad. It was horrible. And I said, oh, my dear friend. I said, look, I know this is a dream of yours, but maybe you stick with accounting and go get some vocal lessons. And he's like, but I've had 20 years of vocal lessons or 10 years of vocal lessons. And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. Well, you know, bud, just some dreams are not meant to be. It's, you know, I wanted to be a professional juggler when I was a kid. And, you know, look where I'm at now. And he said, yeah, I see that. And I said, I can barely ride a bike. I just have no balance or no rhythm or anything, you know. And he said, I get it. And I said, so I don't think you're going to make a good opera singer. And he busted out crying. But that's not the worst part, Trevor. The worst part is I've been haunted ever since then. Every night when I close my eyes, I see two misshapen breasts right in front of me. Like, they're male bosoms. And one is like a hot dog, like it's been on the grill too long, and the other is...
Where is this going?
The other... I'll tell you where it's going in a second. And the other has, like, weird, like, curly hairs off of it. Off, like, the areola is, like, way too big. And
I'm so uncomfortable.
I can't... Every time I close my eyes, I see these. And Trevor, the audience at home can't see what I'm doing right now, but I'm lifting up my shirt. Look, these are my breasts.
What?
Okay, everybody, I'm just kidding. That was just our segue for this episode today. I've made everybody in the studio super uncomfortable. yeah, everyone's like reeling. It's like collectively all the chairs backed away from me. I got the reaction that I wanted. That's what horror does. It gets the reaction that you want. It's not the best reaction. It's not applause. It's this visceral kind of, and I got it. So you know what? You're welcome, folks at home. You're welcome for that visual image. I hope it haunts you like it haunts me.
Hold on.
And it also tells me I need to get back to the gym.
Guys, I just, like, out of character over here. Like, we've been talking about doing this episode for weeks. And he said, oh man, do I have a tale for you? And that was it. You waited like 2 weeks.
I did. I built that son bitch up for 2 weeks.
I hate it so much. Oh
man. So why did I present you with that horrible opening? That's because today we're talking about Edith Wharton's The Eyes.
Edith Wharton's The Eyes.
Edith Wharton. So
I love this story, man. When we were first talking about doing a podcast and talking about horror short stories, I think this was the one that I said, can we do Edith Wharton's The Eyes?
I think we can. The question is, can I sing Hall & Oates' Private Eyes, or are they going to jump through the microphone and like sue me?
I mean... Listen, there's some listener out there who's going to hear you sing Hall & Oates, and they're going to go home and see men's breasts in the dark. Just,
Which one looked like Geraldo? Which one did Beavis and Butthead say looked like Geraldo? I can't remember. If we're going to be stalked by Hall & Oates now. Help us. No, it's Hall & Oates.
It's Hall & Oates.
So one of the things I want to talk about, so some of you might have heard the name of Edith Wharton, but you might not be familiar with her. And in fact, she's published a whole lot of ghost stories. In fact, there's a whole book dedicated to it. It's titled, strangely enough, The Ghost Stories of Edith Wharton. So
I would have guessed that.
But Edith Wharton is mostly famous for her book, The Age of Innocence.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Her stories are set usually in the aristocracy, the upper class. Her characters are often like rich, but they're challenging like social norms and social conventions. Yeah. And a lot of times those protagonists who are like tragic, they're intelligent, they're emotional, they're unable to overcome those social conventions, those barriers to them. So she's given us a look into a class of society that we, and a perspective of that class of society that we didn't normally have. So she's very, very influential on literature and on
one of the great American writers for sure.
Did you know that her family, she was so rich and they were so,
aristocratic?
Yeah, they were aristocratic. That sounded, boy, man, he's an English major. They were so aristocratic that they are the source of the phrase keeping up with the Joneses.
I actually did know that, but only because someone else told me that like 3 or 4 years ago. It may have been longer than that.
She was born Edith Newbald Jones.
Right.
I wonder what phrase I could be the source of. Like, I would love it to be like something like
pulling a Jeremy, which is where you show your hairy breasts to a studio.
Yeah.
Pulling a Jeremy.
Yeah, pulling a Jeremy.
There you
That's
go.
Not a positive. That's not like a keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, I'd love it to be like, amen.
Is anything we do going to come out positively, though? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably not. That was a real Jeremy moment right there.
That was it.
Jeez, Jeremy. God. Oh, my God. She was born in 1862 in New York. Her marriage was a marriage of convenience between rich families.
Yep. She writes a lot about unhappiness in marriage in her ghost fiction, for sure, or her horror fiction.
Yeah.
It's a real preoccupation. Even The Age of Innocence, I think, features a character who is like striving to be single but can't because of the restrictions of agency. Am I misremembering that book?
I think you're remembering it right.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get married because she knows that many of these marriages for women at the time when Edith Wharton was writing 19th century, right? They didn't have a lot of agency, and as a result led
her own
to
husband
many
was like
unhappy
what 13
marriages.
Years older than she was or something.
That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, and it was like a definitely set up between the families.
Yeah.
So you said you really wanted to talk about this story. So what about the story like hit you? Like, first of all, why don't we tell them very briefly what the story's about?
Yeah.
And then they can see my whole breast reference.
It's a little weird, but okay. It starts with this guy, right? What's the dude's name?
Colwyn.
Colwyn, thank you. Colwyn is kind of not the best dude ever. Colwyn's having a party. He's explaining to his guests
they're sharing ghost stories, right? And he eventually ends up with a couple of his guests, and he starts to explain the time he saw a ghost. But he actually seen two ghosts. And he explains that when he was growing up, he had a rather homely-looking cousin that he spent some time with, and eventually he made some promises to her that he never intended to keep. He took pity on her.
Is it wrong to interpret that as like maybe he and her?
No, I think he had sex with her.
Yeah.
I think it's unspoken because, of course, this is literature.
Literature.
And they're not going to explicitly tell you they boinked, but I mean, they boinked.
They boinked in literature.
And with their pinkies up.
With their pinkies up.
Yeah. That's how you do it in literature.
You do.
Hey, if you want to know.
And you keep a very prim and proper face.
If you want to know how else they do it in literature, check out the Sip and Smut podcast. I'm just going to keep saying that. Friends of the show. No, but I'm pretty sure they have sex. It's kind of unclear, but at the very least, Cullen in some way violates the trust of this Alice Noel, who is his cousin. Cullen then flees off to Europe and meets with another friend of the family or somehow an associate of the family, this guy Gilbert Noyes, who wants to become an author. Who sucks at writing, though. And Colwyn doesn't really have the heart to put him down and kind of leads him on for a long time until Noyes finally, you know, realizes he's never going to make it as an author. And along the way, he's haunted on two separate occasions by a pair of eyes, a pair of ghostly eyes.
Ooh.
The first after he flees from Alice having promised his hand in marriage, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And then he flees to Europe and encounters Gilbert. And the moment in which he is supposed to explain to Gilbert, you're kind of a terrible writer, he instead tells Gilbert, nah, man, you can do it. Keep writing. And he sees more ghosts later.
More eyes
staring at him with contempt, right? With contempt. Yeah, it was, oh my God, you just blew my mind.
It was Hall and Oates.
It was Hall and Oates the whole time.
And it was Oates' breasts.
Man.
So what happens? Do we want to tell them what happens at the end of the story?
I mean, can we really spoil a story that's like 110?
That's like a running joke of ours. It's like,
what is it, 140 years old?
Yeah. I mean, we spoiled a 73-year-old story, so we might as well spoil.
May as well spoil this one.
Yeah,
yeah. It's his eyes.
It's
right?
His own eyes.
He's peering back on him himself or something with his own eyes.
These creepy eyes,
haunting eyes. He sees are his own.
So, what themes did you feel like she was exploring with this?
Eyeballs. Yeah. Just eyeballs. No, it's shame, right? It's shame and regret.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why I immediately wanted to bring it up, because I read this story and I, as soon as I had finished the story, I remember putting the book down and going straight to my phone and telling Jeremy, dude, this is one of the best stories I think I've read in terms of horror. It's so good. She deals with ideas of shame and regret, and really the way that I think so often we look back on our former selves with such contempt for who we were, as if we can't really understand the evolution of ourselves, right? And he runs from them. He runs from these eyes through his life because of the way that he's really disappointed the people around him.
It's definitely a lifelong horror. One of the things that interests me, though, is, again, and I'm going back to this idea of the objective correlative again.
Yeah.
But here, the outside that's mirroring the inner is the supernatural. It is the ghosts, and the ghosts are mirroring the horror that he's experiencing and the shame and guilt on the inside. what's interesting, if you look at these from the perspective of like a spouse and infidelity, which Edith mm-hmm. Wharton was a victim of for so many years by her husband's flagrances, each of these characters, Alice Noel and Gilbert Nunez, represent that kind of infidelity kind of person. Like Alice, yeah. she's somebody who put all of her hopes and dreams
into Colwyn.
Into Colwyn. And he was just out for a good time and just used her.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like when Colwyn even talks about Alice, he talks about her in a very pitiable fashion.
Yeah.
Right. He says, oh, she really wasn't anything to look at. She's not even all that interesting. She's kind of dull. And yet he slept with her anyway.
Yeah. She was good in the sack.
It's really disgusting.
Literature.
Yeah. Literature.
Literature. We're going to keep like butchering this
Pinkies
until
up.
It's like
Pinkies up.
Literature. Pinkies up. Literature. Okay. and Gilbert's kind of the same thing. He's like put all of his hopes and dreams again into Colwyn, and Colwyn's just kind of leading him on and like, you know, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah. Like an asshole.
Like an asshole.
Like I did to that one girl in college.
Tell us.
I don't want to.
You can't bring it up and just not tell us. The eyes are going to follow you.
It haunts me. It really does.
The breasts are going to follow you, Trevor.
I had a rebound relationship that she was like really, really way more invested in the relationship than I was. And I was a dick. I handled that relationship very poorly.
And now Dick's following me around.
And now Dick's following me around. Hey, you want to know more about Dick's following you around? Listen to the Sip and Smut podcast.
So there's not a whole lot, because these are really short stories. There's not a whole lot to say about these stories, but we want to just talk a little bit about, you know, just that craft and that idea that Hal Wharton is using these images to reflect that interior. When we get to another author, I think we're going to talk about, we got a couple of stories for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Mm-hmm. And he really kind of pushes this as well too, this idea, like, you know, when I've taught, like I said before, when I've taught objective correlative in the past, it's always like, it was a dark and stormy night. And that's kind of a cliche, but it's the cliche that we are used to best understand this kind of principle that the outside mirrors the in. But what we're seeing here with these different stories is that it's so much more than that. And that's what kind of fascinates me as a writer. So yeah, that's our brief little respite on Edith Wharton's The Eyes. Hope we didn't disturb you.
Yeah, she's got so much more horror fiction out there, like some really fantastic fiction.
Like I said, it's a whole book.
Yeah,
go check it out. The Ghost Stories of Edith Wharton. It's not like one story.
Yeah.
To where the title lied to us. It's a bunch of stories.
It's a whole bunch of them.
It's a bunch of them. In the meantime, where can they find us?
They can find us on Twitter at House Slay.
Yeah.
House, S-L-E-Y.
S-L-E-Y.
You can also find us on, are we on Instagram?
We are on Instagram.
We're on Slay Instagram.
Slay House is on Instagram. Slay House is on TikTok, Twitter, Reddit.
You can also go to slayhouse.com.
Slayhouse.com, where we have our Patreon and our Buy Me a Coffee. We have episodes uploaded on Patreon, but we also have episodes on most of the places where you can stream. So I think we're on like Apple iTunes, we're on Google, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on
Spotify.
A bunch of... we're not on Spotify yet. We're not on Spotify. Is the big money. It's the big bucks. Support our Patreon. This year, or this week, I'm going to use the Patreon to fix my breasts because they're just disgusting.
Guys, he really needs it.
I just need to hit the gym and not just like drive past and be like, there, I was at the gym. And
you gotta go and at least slap the brick, right?
You have to slap the brick.
You gotta hit the gym.
Yeah. Or you know, I sometimes go and have coffee with a friend of mine named Jim. And I'm like, yeah, I was at gym. I was at the gym. And
you do know, you also like, hit him?
Just play. Like a cat with a toy. Just
wouldn't hit Jim.
I hit Jim. Jim hit back.
Oh, no.
So, all right, guys. That's it. This was a really short episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.